time you stop buying your
energy. Power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia and the tri-state area throughout New Jersey and northern Delaware. Go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. And of course, if they're on the internet, invite them to tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And there is a listen live link right on the left hand side, and you'll be able to hear rebroadcasts of all of our programs later on by going to the Listen Live link. You can go back a whole year and listen to what we had to say. Well, I want to thank our guest from last week, Greg Loskowski from Gas Buddy, and his link is going to be highlighted on our site, and we're looking forward to bringing Greg back in a few weeks because he had a lot of good things to say, and that's what we're all about. We're talking about the reasons why American workers are having problems getting jobs here in the USA because there's too many barriers on the road to success. And each week during our broadcast, we try to highlight issues affecting American workers and look for ways to maintain and expand jobs here in the USA. And everyone listening and members of our panel, which include today Larkin Connolly, who is the president of SCORE Philadelphia, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, who is the founder and distinguished member of the Made in America store and a great member of our panel. And I want to thank all of them for coming on and being part of this broadcast, which is helping to educate, unite people, asking you to go out and invite your family and friends to support American Made as much as you can. We have made a major impact on bringing the idea that we have to support American workers to the table. More issues are being discussed in this realm than you would believe. As I listen to the discussions taking place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, as they get ready to finalize their budget, I hear more and more about programs like this, about National Small Business Weekend, and all of the other efforts, which I'm very proud to say our American Workers Radio panel has been part of. I'd like to first welcome Larkin Connolly.
Thanks, Michael, and good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, I guess, I'm sorry. First of all, I want to give a shout out and a major, major shout out to Mark Andel and Rich Logis. I know you told me a couple weeks ago that we were having Greg Loskowski on and that he understood the gasoline business and that I'd been in it for 25 years and maybe I could handle the guy. Well, listen, I listened to half of this program on the radio driving through the streets of Philadelphia trying to get here, and I give a standing ovation, an absolute standing ovation to Mark and Rich, who held their own very, very well against this industry expert. You guys, you did a wonderful job. Thank you very much.
Very good. Rich, how's everything with you this week?
Great, guys. Good morning, and good morning to the listeners. Larkin, thank you for that. Definitely the nicest thing I've heard all week, I think. I appreciate that. It's an area of our economy that I think is a bit shrouded in mystery. And to get some insight on some of these things that really pertain to our everyday lives. Michael, appreciate you having him on. Larkin, if you haven't heard by this point, I'm coming up to Philly in a couple months. So looking forward to meeting you guys up there and coming in onto the studio.
I would like to have the honor of buying you your first Philly beer.
Only one?
Oh, no. We'll start at one.
And, Rich, you'll get the first Philly steak. You're definitely. We're all going to go out and party. And Mark, maybe we can get you on a plane to go over here, and we can go go out and have a good time and really enjoy.
I think it would be a stitch to do this program with everybody sitting around the big table here.
I'd like to take you up on that. You know, I just want to say last week with Greg, very informational. One of our top problems, one of my top concerns, that I didn't realize how much New York was paying for gas, and that was excellent, Mike. Great job to get him on your show.
Well, he's very well respected in the industry. We hear a lot of his reports on our local stations, and I spoke to him in the past, and he said, sure, let me, you know, do. He was running around the country doing some things, and now he's back at home base, and he said, I'll be happy to help you out. And I want to inform our people, because you know that it's our job to do this. And Independence Day is coming up in a little bit. We have to start thinking about independence for America from foreign gases and everything else.
And you know, Rich hit the nail right on the head. It is so it's endemic of the gasoline industry. It's such a mystery to everybody. People that drive cars, that buy gasoline, you know, 2 and 3 times a week. Some of their largest, most active purchases in free enterprise, and they have absolutely no idea why a gallon of gasoline costs what it does, how much of that value of that gallon is going to the state in excise taxes, and you know, what is it about supply and demand? The one thing we will talk to Greg about the next time he comes back is the fact that one of the driving forces behind the price of gasoline, and I know he can explain this, is the fact that, you know, they trade barrels of gasoline in New York now. It's a traded commodity. So if I, as a jobber in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, buy, you know, 1,000 barrels of finished product of gasoline to put in my stations, that product has probably changed hands 3 or 4 times in New York. So, and I plan to do some research to be able to explain that a little
bit.
You
know, better, as you say that, Larkin, I think Rich once said that the gas was handled a lot by speculators. Is that true, Rich?
Exactly.
The speculators are adding a lot of the dollar bills onto that per gallon charge,
sure,
at the pump.
Well, the primary issue, like some other very large institutions in our economy, is that there's too much just made out of thin air, and again, I know that we can't have the wonderful Wizard of Oz running everything, right? We need to know, and it helps us as a nation to know where. How do we come to the end result of some of these things? But this is an industry, and our company has customers, and I should say, our company has customers in petrochemical, those who are directly involved and indirectly involved. But when it comes to state to state, why certain dollar amounts, why the net result is X amount of money, why is it higher here? Why is it lower here? It's just manufactured like hot air, just out of thin air, and how are we to know what's what? You know, Larkin, you brought up the point about trading. That's something that I've talked about with many in the past. That's something that the nation as a whole, I guarantee you, knows very, very little, if anything, about.
Very little. And if it were the major oil companies that were doing this, would still have seven sisters. There'd still be seven major oil companies. There aren't now. Mobil has been bought by Exxon. Amoco has bought BP, or BP has bought Amoco. Texaco, I mean, you know, it's a shrinking industry, and demand is shrinking. There's no question of that, to some degree. But if they were manufacturing prices, Rich, you know, they'd stay in business because there would be an overwhelming profit.
Well, you know,
this isn't about beating up. Right. At least I don't think this is about beating up the two. Look at the two most profitable companies in the U.S. Number one, ExxonMobil. Number two, Chevron. They also happen to be the biggest corporate taxpayers, those two companies. So that's in line. So this isn't about companies not being profitable, which the only problem is, though, guys, we've seen that profitability has not translated into job creation. Companies have more cash on hand than ever before. Has that made a significant dent in job creation? I would say it hasn't. I think the real unemployment rate is way higher than what's talked about in the single digits.
Oh, absolutely, so, Rich. I have
not,
to add.
It's not about petroleum companies being the saviors, but it is a fact that it is something that we produce more oil here than we bring in. That in and of itself is a good thing. Where we're looking to get better is to lower the margin, right, of the foreign imports. They're always going to be here. I think, you know, Greg last week mentioned that, right? And he's saying you can't have it's a bit unrealistic to think that we're going to be 100% solely United States. But our neighbors in South America, our neighbors to the north in Canada, we're looking to get that balance even more so. Instead of the 60-40 that it's at, how do we increase it? Well, one of the ways potentially to increase it, I would think, is by job creation, right? By demand being met with employment. But we've seen that companies as a whole, not just petroleum, but collectively, have got more money on hand than ever before. It hasn't resulted, though, it hasn't translated into the kind of increase in jobs that I'm sure all of us want to see and will need to see. We'll need to see in the future to accommodate the world's growing population.
It's all about confidence, I think, at this point. There's such a low level of confidence on the part of the consumers, on the part of the corporations. Everybody's scared to death that there's another shoe about to drop somewhere.
Somewhere, right.
The real estate market, commercial real estate, residential real estate, the student loans, everybody's talking about this other shoe. So people are sitting on money and they're not making the investments.
And that is exactly why all of these issues that we're discussing are helping many of our listeners and our supporters. Everywhere I go, people tell me how they enjoy hearing from all of you on the panel, because you all bring something different to the table, and that's really what's important. People need to hear what is going on. And unfortunately, our national leaders are simply not going out into the public. They have 1,001 reasons why they're not going to go. And, you know, some of the things that I spoke with in the last few weeks about was the fact that I've been contacting our national leaders on a pretty regular basis. And I just want to throw this in because I think this is almost unbelievable. I made a little report. In fact, I'm going to put it in this week's commentary so that it goes out to the public as well. Some of our elected leaders, and you know I do some telephone calling, and people do come to the phone, or their top aides will come to the phone, and I say, is it possible for this senator or the congressman to be our leading force in introducing a jobs bill in the U.S. Congress and Senate? And I just want to tell you a few of the responses that I received. Some of them tell me that they feel that if they had to introduce a jobs bill, it would take away too much of their time that they would need to continue working with their constituents. That's their number one excuse. That's across the board. Number two, some elected leaders say they feel the jobs issue must be presented by leadership in the United States House and Senate because they don't want to offend the leadership in their caucus. It's a real good way to get yourself off the hot seat. Some feel that all of us here on American Workers Radio and the people should be urging private sector business leaders to present a private plan to the people in Washington for long-term tax incentives. I mean, it's almost stories. I'm going to let you respond to this.
Do you remember in the 60s and 70s when factions in the House and Congress used to argue over tariffs? No tariffs. They're not right. Let's not do this. There's not an elected official in Washington, D.C. that would support a tariff if you guaranteed them they were going to be elected one more round.
If you guarantee them they'll be elected 10 times, they are fearful of everything. Some tell me that leadership in Washington is moving forward on the jobs issue, and I say, well, who are they? Who are the leaders? While others are telling me that I should consider that unemployment has dropped, so the job situation in America is improving. So I don't know. When I listen to this, none of the responses seem to be realistic, but I wanted to know what you thought. I mean, does that sound like any one of our Pennsylvania or New Jersey congressmen or senators has the brass to go and introduce a jobs bill? What would you say, Rich, to that?
Well, when we're at the bar, when I come up, I'll give you my R-rated answer. For the purposes of the show, though, to keep it respectful, my PG answer is that if elected officials are too busy to devote time to the economy, to economic matters, which are just as important as any issue, on all levels, local, state, federal, if they're too busy doing it, I want to know what the hell they're doing day in and day out then. Right? Well, simply get every dollar you spend elsewhere, every moment of time devoted elsewhere, not to your base, right? Local, state, our local, state, and federal. If you're when you're not talking about significant issues, what are you doing? Right? What are you devoting your work days to? Typically, it's getting ready for re-election, fundraising, looking good, talking good, smelling good, all flash, no cash, right? Now, I'm not saying the government, every member is like that. I'm just saying that I'm asking aloud, fine, if you're too busy, what is it that you're doing on a day-to-day basis then?
Well, the thing
I think it's a fair question, no? I mean, is that not a fair question?
No, it's absolutely fair.
Mark, what would you add to those replies that I received?
Yeah, I always talk about lip service and action, and we need, going back on what Larkin said, consumers lost confidence, and I do think, you get everybody in that negative mode, we got to get positive again, but getting politicians to react, even when I learned last week about the gas prices or about anything, it's hard to get them to actually get something done, and to say that jobs might be more on the Washington, D.C. side, I think, Mike, is an insult. I think we need action now, and Rich always talks about electing the right officials, and I always bring that up more. We want more variety. It's just they have to get on the ball to run a business these days, and I've just been going through a lot of bank issues, and banks want more and more paperwork. They want to know what I'm doing every week. They're policing me. I got a new refinance, and they watch things, and it's getting so tight, and I know, Larkin, you know how hard it is for an entrepreneur. It's just very, very tough. We need better and less regulation. I think they got to get on the ball quick, and this economy is very, very tough, and I don't like them to smokescreen that at all.
And what really concerns me, the fact that the jobs issue has been unresolved through this five-year recession. It's not even been on the table.
And the to Mark's end there, banks are not lending money. And the TARP situation, the bailout, did create some level of second guessing on the part of the government that banks have to go through. They have to go through these loops and request all this information. And I understand that. But if we're going to make those regulations and all of that go away and start lending money and start moving money on the street, it's going to be the banks that step up to the plate and tell the government, we are prepared. We don't need to do this. Right now, the banks like these regs, because they're falling back on it and giving every entrepreneur that comes in looking for money what I call the slow no. It takes them 6 to 8 weeks, but on that eighth week, you're going to get a phone call and say, yeah, I'm about ready to take it into committee. And off the record, six of the committee people said they no. So
very well said.
We're not going to be able to do that.
Very well said, Larkin. Ooh, very. The fact is, as I said, the fact that the jobs issue hasn't been resolved during the worst part of our economy in 5 years during this recession is really a major concern. That's why I made a concerted effort to call the congressmen and the senators. In many cases, you don't get them directly. They call a staff person to the phone, or the chief of staff will return your call. Some call me directly because, unfortunately, I have their private lines. But the fact of the matter is, no one wants to put their head on a chopping block for the American people. And that's where every time I get that response, I think of Rich Loges and the 50 parties and the 50 candidates. And as I mentioned last week, I would love to see 50 people, one from every state, put their name, and let's have a real free-for-all once and for all in this country. Rich?
Well, choice, and I've cited specific examples in the past of numerous consumer goods, if we're going to tout competition as a good thing, then we as an electorate need to start touting competition in elections as a good thing. And until we do that, it's going to pretty much be the same thing election after election, no matter how much we may want to think, well, one's a little better than the other, or one's a little worse, and I hang my hat with this party because it's what I've done for years and years. I don't know, guys. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon. You know, we've only had two parties the last century, and I find it I'm very hard-pressed to believe and unconvinced entirely that had it just been one party as president and Congress, that we wouldn't have essentially the same problems that we have today.
Unfortunately, Rich, I don't see people voting on issues.
They do. Well, Larkin, they unfortunately people do, but it's on what I call, you know, Mickey Mouse issues.
Yeah.
Religious and moral and social issues. Why? Because those are great, you know, media sound bites, right? Create division is very profitable. Division is $6 billion in the presidential election, billions more in the congressional elections. Division is extremely profitable. Social issues, religious issues, I mean, that's the cream of the crop when it comes to divisive issues, quote unquote. But it's what Ralph Nader called gonadal politics, which is a non-issue made into an issue, and we go and go to the voting booth. Which is why some of these elected officials, Michael, might tell you that they're really busy to talk about job creation because they might be, you know, hamming up with Mickey and Minnie every day.
and you know, listen, I've been involved in electoral elections here in Philadelphia for about 7 years as a minority judge of elections, and it's hysterical to see the IBEW. Poll watcher standing out in front of the door, handing out the ballot. Here's how you vote. Here's how you vote. Here's how you vote. And sometimes there's money behind it. Sometimes there's a job behind it. But as far as people sitting there and thinking, okay, I want to vote for this guy because I liked what he said about jobs in America. I like what he said about importing stuff, too much stuff from China. I don't think that's the issue. I think it's a beauty contest.
Mark, I wanted to ask you, have you seen any improvement there in your area as far as people saying they have to promote American made, they are promoting American made? Have you seen an improvement like that? Because you're in the midst of the Made in America store and the customers come in and I'm sure they have lots to say.
Yeah, I do see change, you know, and I know even some of our local, there's Vidler at Oldest Five and Dime in the area, which was 100% imports 3 years ago. We've changed them probably, Mike, by doing what we do. Locally, they've changed. Our distribution network has changed. We're supplying some truck stops in Utah. They're requesting it. We met with the Veterans Administration hospitals. Vets are asking for more products. But locally, I'm definitely seeing change because people, consumers, are demanding it. After consumers demand it, they have to get that product. And when they keep demanding it, they have to get something on their shelf to answer that need. And then that helps this American manufacturer that's out there. And again, we support over 350 now. And we just had a lot of new products in from the hardware retail show I've got in, which are all great products. So it is happening. I do see it. All over, even, you know, when the bus is coming, I talk to them. That's very interesting because you get a feel from all around the country. We just had a Wyoming bus and a Missouri bus, and then we just had one coming from Ohio, which was our 200th bus last week. So very, very neat. I am seeing movement. I do like what we're seeing. It's a slow process, but it is happening.
It is a slow process. I agree. We're preparing once again for a National Small Business Weekend, which won't start until the beginning of July. But people, as I travel around, are saying that people are walking in and they're bypassing products, which sounds horrible to say that they're losing business, but it's also encouraging the retailers to go out of their way to get their merchandisers to bring more American-made products on board. And I'm seeing more and more stores feature American-made stuff. So some of the merchandisers are doing a good job. But it's a matter of what are we going to do to get those people to get even more jobs in the system. And, you know, as a result of all of the jobs issue being addressed, unaddressed by the national leaders, we're now suffering. We need tens of millions of jobs. People are unemployed. Industries are closed. Job skills are dwindling. That's the most important thing. Because you know yourself, Mark, you want to have someone available to take a person's place if that person's sick or goes on a trip or on vacation, and you don't have the skilled people in the area, that's a problem. Well, that's happening all over the USA. We should never be in this situation.
Yeah, I've just been asked to walk the local BOCES, which is a trade school off of our high schools in the area. It represents six high schools. I've been asked by the one leading teacher that bring the 22 teachers through my Made in America store tomorrow, and then also bring them through my welding manufacturing division because they want to learn more about our whole system. But that was encouraging because I want to talk to them that we need these more skilled laborers and whatnot. And every teacher runs, if it's auto body, if it's welding, if it's a diesel mechanic, or if it's a CAD design. So everybody's going to come through. So I'm real excited about that, Mike.
And you know, in an effort to get good word out, you need to get your son or somebody in your staff to get their telephone camera out and get a full motion video. Show some footage of those people going through the store. Maybe a little verbiage behind it. We can put it on the site.
Yes. Oh, will do. Good idea.
Good idea. I like that. Oh, very good idea. Yeah, we have to start getting. I noticed that I have time to talk with some of the tourists in historic Philadelphia, and they say Gas Buddies, his type of presentation is very well respected because they're being clobbered coming here to Philly. Some of the people that used to fly in and stay 2 days are not coming in at all. It's a lot of people driving in. So when the people don't fly in and stay for days in Philly, move to New York, go to Washington, that all hurts our hotel industry too. So it's a chain effect. One loses here, one loses there. That means the restaurant doesn't have as many people. And usually at this time in June, we would have many more tourists in historic Philadelphia. But because of gas, because of bus issues, because of all the permission slips that are needed to get the kids out on the buses and the trips, it's made a lot of our tourist attractions less filled with people. And that's what, you know, American workers don't have jobs, so they can't send their kids out on a day trip or a weekend trip or whatever. So we're doing our best with this. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause now for a few messages from our sponsors, and I'm going to ask that you kindly continue to let them know that you listen to American Workers Radio right here on 860 AM. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish. C. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language.
The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax-deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax-deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to American Workers Radio, and I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the many people that are contacting me to let me know that they are speaking up where they shop. After years and years of silence, the American people finally see that it has to be us that leads the way for change in America. Our national leaders, you know, they did their best, the 535 people that are in Washington, getting paid by us, all their staff, you know, escorting them around, keeping them away from telephones so they don't have to talk to the constituents, then tell me that they're very busy, they don't want to take time from their constituents, they don't want to introduce any type of job programs because they don't want to rile up the leadership, which would be Boehner and Reid. They have to stay in line. And I really think that, you know, the American people are going to have to lead the way on this one. What do you think about that, Mark?
Yeah, I do. They definitely got to lead the way. We've got to get on the ball. I mean, Mike, we talk about it every week, me, you, and Rich, and Larkin. we just have to get going. I mean, I don't know how much more we can do. You know, us as a team up here are doing all we can to increase American manufacturing, you know, for sure. Our distribution has really taken off. You know, the more people, I just, on every bus, I tell our bus story and tell people that you have to get involved, you have to speak up, you have to keep speaking up and keep it in front of them, because people have a short-term memory, too. So, and it works. You know, we got new commercials running because we just popped up Rebuilding the American Dream, and it's all part of it. It's just something we have to all consistently do and feel that we should do it, because it's part of our heritage. I was thinking the other day that I didn't think maybe we're not raising Americans like we used to. You know, I mean, a lot of these students or kids seem like they're entitled, and I don't think you should be entitled. You got to earn, you know, freedom. Our freedom was fought for, and we all have to carry the torch right now.
You are absolutely right, and don't think that most people that I meet don't tell me how hard they had it along the way, paying for their own college and, you know, because their parents were working and caring for their grandparents. It's unbelievable. Yes, it's a different breed of Americans. And I think maybe a lot of the electronics caused that to happen, because it scares me when I sit someplace in a restaurant and I go out quite a bit with friends and I see people just sitting there texting. It always amazes me. And I think to myself, how can I get that person's attention to, you know, make them think about what they're doing? And where do they get the money to pay all these bills? That's the thing.
Mike, I see people texting. I mean, kids are texting each other. They're right next to each other. They're very smart. We've got some real brains out there, and I just went there again. My boys just graduated, so watching them. But there's not a lot of social skills in a lot of them. And I just think the real world, you have to be able to, you know, it's okay to work for a living. And I blame a lot of the parents and the schools, but the parents, it's okay to get dirty.
I'm going to tell this story again. I know I've told it before, probably twice. Mark's laughing because he's heard it about five times. But a good friend of mine went to his daughter's house, and his grandson said, "Pop up, I want to invite a girl to the junior prom. How do I do this?" And he gave him all this advice. It was a great, rigorous conversation. He saw him about 3 days late. 3 days later, it was probably a week later, and said to his grandson, "So how'd it go?" And he said, "I think I did it all the way you told me. I think everything's going to work out." And the grandfather said, "Well, did she accept?" And he said, "I don't know. I'm waiting for the tweet."
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we had trouble with our counter at our stores, and that, I mean, I had good younger kids working from 16 to 18, but we'd catch them at the counter on their phone. Now, we want them to have a phone in case they have a question business-wise or whatnot, but don't play games at the counter. So it affects their life. I mean, technology is an enhancer. You need technology enhancers, but you got to watch. I just think we're losing that direct handshake, eye-to-eye contact, which is a problem.
And I think the big word here is entitled.
Yes.
That entire generation thinks they're entitled. The illegal immigrants think that they're entitled. People that don't perform adequately but belong to a union think they're entitled.
Well, you know, before anything is done with the immigration issue, I would like to see all this documented so we could read it up on the net. We could take the time and say, exactly what is all this going to do for us? Are we going to take on more workers? Are we going to take on more welfare people? What exactly is it going to do for the American economy? They're saying that they're not on welfare now. I don't know that. If they have to go on welfare when they become legal, will it all of a sudden make them eligible for welfare? Everything has to be on the table. Just like with the Affordable Care Act, we are now suffering with the aftermath of no one knowing what was in that bill when they passed it. We have so many rules and regulations coming up that we're not going to be able to afford it in the future. It's supposed to be the Affordable Care Act, but there's nothing to afford. But going back a second, I'm going to ask Rich, because I know he has to go out on an appointment. Rich, if you were in the situation of discussing with a national leader and asking them to introduce the Jobs Bill Act in Congress, what would you say would be a decent percentage of corporate business tax that would be able to satisfy the government getting their share of the taxes and the sum of the money going to invest in business and employees?
Well, Michael, I'll say, guys, that admittedly, while I've thought very often about that, I've not yet come to a number. And what I mean by that is an actual rate and percentage that is going to attract new business creation as well as attract many of our companies we've talked about many times who are overseas, who would come back here but immediately take a 35 or so percent hit to the pocketbook.
Believe it or not, that seems to be one of the major stumbling blocks to dealing with these national officials. They don't want to be in a situation where they recommend a tax deduction because that, you know, hurts the government income to the Treasury. But if you make it so that people are employed for the additional money that they would be paying in taxes, then it makes it more sensible that the same dollar will be coming in, but from different sources. You'll have the corporate tax on one source, and you'll have the income tax and everything else coming on the other.
Where the government and companies are going to have to have it's incumbent upon them to have a very honest conversation with the country is that tax deductions for the purposes of corporate executives hoarding probably won't find favor with the American public.
Nor should it.
And I'm fully, Larkin, I fully agree with you. However, the flip side of that is tax incentives for business creation, job creation, companies coming back overseas, even if they're not fully coming back, but a significant part of their operations coming back, that results in further jobs, further employment, further manufacturing. We need to do some real honest number crunching in Washington. And there needs to be a case made to the American people by collectively government with businesses we're trying to attract back here to say, we understand that corporations tend to have a black eye with the American public for the perception of them not paying taxes. We know that that's not entirely true. Companies pay a lot. From your most profitable companies, from your ExxonMobil, Chevrons, Apples, etc. But we need to make a case that reducing taxes is going to be good for the economy. And when that case can be made, not with fuzzy math, not with numbers created out of thin air, like hot air, I believe that the public, whether it's sooner rather than later, it won't happen overnight. I do think the public will come to see that if the case can be made and it's buttressed and supported by real numbers, that's when we'll start seeing it. Until then, guys, it's just all talk. And unfortunately, we do a lot of very good talking here. You know, we have the best talkers in government in the world. Talking is you know, anyone could do that, right? Anyone can talk and be made to look good. But it's a matter of what it is that you're doing. And if you're devoting time to issues that are not really relevant to what the everyday issues are facing our country, what is it that you're doing?
Yeah, there's
and if they're not devoting time, the question to the voters needs to be, why do you keep electing them? And not voting, by the way, only help. By the way, not voting helps to elect those guys too.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I've already mentioned our elections primaries a couple weeks back, a little less than 10% turnout.
That's frightening. That's really frightening. But see, it's because people just are so discouraged that everything has gotten to this point. They figure go to the polls and the same thing is going to happen anyway. That's why I'm trying to re-educate people that if you do speak up, the speaking up at the stores has worked enormously, because I know when I go into certain stores, immediately those same managers spot me and think, oh, here he comes. He's going to ask a lot of questions. And I usually do it where the most amount of people are located so that they hear my messages. I'm concerned. They say, did you find everything? No, I didn't. I didn't find enough American made. And then people say, yeah, I see what you mean. You know, that is the message that I'm asking our people to go out and do. And it is working. Now, not only doing it in the stores, but also call the elected officials, call their local office, call the national office, send them an email. Don't be bashful. It's because America didn't speak up. We are in the situation we are today. And the only way we're going to turn it around is if we do take action.
And Mike, I just got a call yesterday from a lady doing an article in our Buffalo newspaper. It's going to be released around Labor Day. But she said they want me to do a feature story on Made in America products. And she had specific questions. And she asked me about the textile industry. And I brought up, I've got wigwam socks, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, a very, very good sock, doesn't shrink. And then I brought up different things. But she asked questions, you know, the same things we're asking. Do you see a need, you know, is it a fad trend? I said, well, the movement's on. You know, we track it from Tim Cook mentioning he's going to bring products back to all my 5,000 products I found after 3 years. So it was a great article to be released, but it shows you, they see a need, they see a want, they're asking me questions. So this comes out in August, and I'll definitely get your copy when it comes out. But it's a couple page article, she said.
Absolutely. How's everything going with the movie?
Oh, excellent. Sue is going crazy here because we're running it like a wedding invitation. It's going to show July 20th in our local theater that holds 650 people, and we're going to send out invitations. And again, you're definitely welcome. I've got to talk to you about that day, and we're going to show it in Niagara Falls July 21st, and they got 32 cities chosen, and I did bring up Philadelphia. I'm not sure if it's on yet. 32 cities in 30 days. The logistics to go around and do this private screening, and Mike, Rich, and Larkin, you'd be perfect for this screening. So I'm hoping to get you. If anything, I'll get you the closest theater that's by you guys so you could see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Mark, let me just mention, excuse me, Michael, because, guys, I have to excuse myself. But, Mark, I just want to mention on that, as I stated last month, let's get it to Miami. I'll make the mojitos.
Yeah, I brought that up to him. I'd love that, Rich. Thank you.
Come to Philadelphia.
American-made mojitos.
Come to Philadelphia, and we'll have a parade around it.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
We'll have American-made mojitos. You know, we'll have Jose and Jose B will make them. So I'm going to be the bartender there for you. So congratulations on that, guys. Until next week. Sorry, I need to jump off here a little bit early. Thank you to all the listeners and to you guys.
Very good. Thank you so much, Rich. Talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
Well, I wanted to ask Larkin, what is the latest happening in your life? Are you planning some vacations in the future?
It's really disgusting. Next week, I have to come back off of vacation. I'm going to be on Long Beach Island, and I have to come back for a couple events and meetings that I'm having here in town that I just have to be to. So my children are mad at me for doing this. My wife won't speak to me. The dog absolutely won't let me walk it. So I'm like...
Well, I'm asking you that question because if you're out on vacation, I'm expecting you to ask the question everywhere you go shopping.
Exactly.
What do you have American made?
And I'll tell you, in Long Beach Island, where there are a lot of Hans, or Hans, I guess they're called, and a lot of trinket shops, there's going to be a lot of Chinese stuff.
You know, I have to tell you this, and Mark, you're going to like this. One of the souvenir shops down the shore told me last year was a very bad year for them. And they said because, of course, tourism was slightly down, but they said more people are looking at the trinkets made foreign and know that they're made very cheaply in those countries, and they're just rejecting it, you know, bypassing it. And people don't want the dust collectors if they're not American made, and it's as simple as that.
I've got to bring up, Mike, our new Niagara Falls, again, our second brick and mortar store for the Made in America store, but the first 100% souvenir store in the country. And it's been such a neat learning experience. It's been almost a little over 8 weeks since we opened, and boy, we were off. The foreigners are great. The Americans are great. I look in the parking lot, California, they still have like the Griswolds, you know, drive across the country. But we learned that they wanted candy bars. They love candy. They love candy of any sort, but they wanted fly swatters made in America. Our shirts are selling. Even my famous Made in America Because China's a Long Drive to Work shirt, they're buying. We didn't even think we should show that there. But people love the quality. They love the symbol, and they love our brand. And, boy, are we learning, you know, Mike and Larkin. It's a different area, but tourism, and they get it. You know, they understand it. They want Made in America products.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen more people speaking up in behalf of American workers. I guess because when it hits your own back door, you see the aftermath of the recession. You see people getting out of college and high school that would like to go into the workforce, and they're out frying hamburgers or whatever. And that's really, you know, disappointing. But things are improving. And I've been talking with some of the companies in the Philadelphia area, and they said, yes, we are trying very hard to bring in people. One of the things that disappointed me, though, however, is they're going to bring a lot more part-time people to avoid the new Affordable Care Act. That's the thing that I don't understand, how we're going to get away from that. I don't know if that still can be rescinded at some point or altered or whatever, because people that are in business can't put out that much of their profits, because those are direct outlays. It comes directly from profits. If you don't make a dollar profit in the course of a month, you can't pay out those dollars for the medical.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with profit. You're gonna get those bills, and you're gonna have to adhere to the law. So it's gonna take a store operating or not business operating in the red and make it that much redder.
Yes. They said when they were, Nancy Pelosi was saying, well, it's just going to be the cost of doing business. Well, I'm sorry, with the cost of gas the way it is and everything else, there's no cost of doing business that I can see.
And that is scary, to have somebody like Nancy Pelosi say that's the cost of doing business. She wouldn't know a cash register fell out of the sky and hit her in the head. She really wouldn't. And she's telling me that this is the cost of doing business.
You know what, Mark? I have a suggestion. Maybe you should send out a special invitation to Nancy so that she would be able to come to your store. Put a special invite to her.
And she's got to see this American-made movie, because, boy, you're going to love it. I want to tell you, you know, a week or so ago we had that Flag Day, and then we did a big sponsor, me, Ricky Lee, in our store, went to the VA state convention held in New York, right in Buffalo, and we pushed our flags, and we told the story, we want every flag that's draped over a casket or flown above a soldier to be 100% American. And I want to announce that Thompson's Buy American Flag Amendment passed the House. He was a Purple Heart recipient from Vietnam, a veteran. And it's great to see some movement. So our Defense Department is very close to being a law that any flag that is draped over a soldier is 100%. I just love that. So I wanted to pass that. There's some movement for you in a positive direction.
Excellent. And I have to tell you this. I was listening to one of the radio stations that has some broadcasts about what's happening in foreign countries. I don't want to mention the station, but many of our listeners know, because we were broadcasting on there at one time. But I was pleased to hear this, that at one time China was making up to $5 billion dollars worth of American flags. It's down to $3 billion.
$5 billion down to $3 billion. That's good to know.
So that cheered me up when I heard that. I thought, wow, boy, that's good to hear.
Yeah, and I'm working with the VFW Post. You want to make sure, you know, when it says China on the flags, these guys just roll over, you know.
No, we can't allow this to go on anymore. But it's all the way you present something. I mean, we're not against China or India or anybody else. We are for American. We're for America first. And that's the message I keep telling our national leaders. I tell Toomey and Casey and Brady and all these elected officials, I say to them, we're not against anybody. And you should not feel that we're promoting anything against anyone. We're speaking about American jobs. And of course, union jobs are their first priority, because who supports them the most? But how about everybody else that's not in union? How about them?
And again, support the country you live in. I always say my team is the United States of America. That's all. Support your team.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I, as we're coming closer and closer to the 4th of July, I hope that people consider what is happening in the USA. Go out of their way to make sure that they spread the word. Look at these internet sites. Tweet these different broadcasts. Tweet the different articles that you see. Let's inform people about how we're working together, because we don't have the people in Washington, D.C. really going out of their way. The fact that I still can't find one person that's willing, as I'm trying from our Philadelphia tri-state area, one person that would put their head on a chopping block to introduce a special bill to focus on jobs. In other words, could we have a month in America that's going to focus on all job issues? The answer is, I can't. That's up to leadership. I can't believe the excuses. I just can't believe it. Have you seen anything happening in New York that is you know, something that I can follow through on?
You know, there's something, Mike, I don't know enough about yet, but in our colleges and our universities, they want to allow businesses to come in and give them a 10-year tax advantage, no income tax, no, I don't know if sales tax was affected, but they're trying to get different stores, entrepreneurs, and Larkin, you might like that, to open up in our colleges. We'd have to look into it a little more. I just seen an article or an ad on it, and it's basically allowing them to come in onto a campus and have 10 years help.
Wow, that's good to hear.
Yeah, that I just heard. So that's something to positive. You know, again, it's on a campus, but I think, you know, they're trying to make something happen.
One of the things that people do like that we speak about is in restoring the industrial arts programs, the trades. That's something that is very important. It's important because those people who learn those trades will have a lifelong possibility of supporting themselves. That's the bottom line. Without that, I mean, there's too many bankers, there's too many lawyers, there's too many Indian chiefs.
And that falls into line, you feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Yep, I mean, I learned all sorts of stuff in my life, and believe me, I could be a jack of all trades. But the fact of the matter is, not enough people in the USA can be a jack of all trades. They're focused in one direction, and that's it.
I just don't understand the need for everybody to go to college. I mean, we want a well-educated society. But I'm telling you, if we had a competent, a performing high school level education in this country, they could step away from being a senior in high school and go into a trade somewhere and learn a trade, learn how to use their hands, learn how to, you know, do masonry work, whatever that trade is.
And believe it or not, that trade is going to last for a lifetime, because we are always having, you know, need for air conditioner specialists and for concrete specialists and for building and window makers and door people. We need those kind of people. And yet when they tell me they have to bring in foreigners to settle this, it doesn't make any kind of sense to me.
It's funny, guys. I just heard on a local city from us, maybe an hour, 2 hours away, 43% graduates only out of high school. And I thought that the problem might be it's all Regents courses, and they're not all made for that. And maybe if you had more trade, you'd have a better variety and have better grades. I don't know, Larkin, if you have any comment on that. I couldn't believe that a school only had 43%.
Well, guess what? You just hit the school district of Philadelphia right between the eyes. Their graduation rate right now is 43%.
I thought I heard it wrong.
No, it's 43%.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and Mark Andel for being part of our broadcast today. And I encourage you to go on our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you will see our panelists and be able to click on their pictures and go right to Mark's store, to Rich Logis and his RTL technology. And also click on Larkin and you'll go right to Score Philadelphia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Until Saturday at 11, I wish you the very best. Dovidenia.